All right, it's 1 o'clock, we'll call the meeting to order, please. Has everyone had a look at the agenda, any additions or deletions?
I had a 1:45 delegation as tentative, it's been confirmed. And Mr. Tynes will be on the telephone and his representatives will be in chambers for you. I had another delegation request attendance, Mr. Art Amarogan, re-super upgrade in Whitemouth RM, so he'll be here at 2 o'clock. That is the additions that I've shared.
All right, can we have a mover for that, please?
Sure.
Seconder? All in favor?
Aye.
Before I continue, I just want to say Duncan sends his regrets, not able to attend today. Then we will go, has everyone had a chance to read the minutes, and can we have a mover for the minutes?
Honky.
Seconder? All in favor?
Aye.
Payment of accounts, can we have a mover for that, please?
Sure.
Seconder?
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, reports of committees, so in your packages you have, one second, please.
Just get your signature there. Thank you.
All right, in your packages you have Whitemouth Reynolds North Whitechapel Waste Management Facility, read the minutes of December 17th. Managers' report and accounts approval. Verbal reports of committees. Councilor Stead?
Nothing.
Nothing. Councilor Sterick?
Nothing.
Deputy Reeve Honky?
I just had the waste management and you guys got the report there.
Okay.
It's sitting there for you.
I'm just gonna touch a bit. I had a work meeting and mostly what that was about is they need computer upgrades and they're just trying to work on getting 3 quotes. And other than that, they just kind of went through the volunteer list and when they're having their meetings with the fire department, things of that nature. Found yesterday we all attended the Eastman Forum in Dugald, and there were some interesting topics there. We had MSO from the province come out and speak to about, I don't know if there's 13 or 19 municipalities there, and some of the big topics, of course, was Sunrise School Division, where there was a provincial school increase of 1 to 9.8% increase. But Sunrise only got 3.4, so we're at the bottom of the scale as far as getting money from the province. Again, there's a normal thing of doctor shortages in Emerge. And then the main topic of the day, of course, was when the MSOs were out from the province, was code of conduct in council and in public. Public code of conduct along with in council, and a lot of side conversations on social media. So it was very interesting yesterday, along with having the MSO out there for that. That's all I have. Okay. Then we will go, I guess we're going to go straight down the list here to communications. Rural Municipality of Lac-Da-Bonny, Mutual Aid Memorandum of Understanding. That's just to
circulated and has been provided to Word for you.
Yes, that has been done. Number two is Eastman Tourism. Annual general meeting postponed. And you had one, I think, yesterday, and that was postponed too?
That was postponed as far as I've been able to find out, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, that's fine. Number three is Climate Action and Energy Innovation. Municipal Climate Card grant to be applied for to create same.
So
we'll pass a resolution on that for the amendment?
Yes, please. Whereas the province of Manitoba has a ground-up grant available, now therefore be it resolved that administration be hereby directed to apply for same for producing their climate action plan.
Okay.
Seconder.
Stay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, number four, Canadian Nuclear Laboratories Environmental Remediation Management webinars are available, so it's information. Unfinished business, the lagoon, borrowing bylaw, that's tabled. Number two, water line south of Elma with project participants, Manitoba Water Services Board and the Rural Municipality of Reynolds to extend to Prouda, again tabled. Number three, Commercial Lots and Seven Sisters, survey received, request for direction.
So what that is administration is now ready to move forward with the subdivision application, and we just wanted to make sure we have your direction to do that, so if I could have a mover.
And that's all we're doing with it.
Just the subdivision, correct.
Yeah. I have a mover for that.
Okay.
Seconder?
Stir.
All in favor?
So, can I just be
coming
up for
a
second?
Please.
So, the 2, 4, 6, 8 lots? 2, 4, 6 in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
Those will be sold first, correct?
We did not have a plan. Administration's not been provided a plan of action for sale, only to discuss the actual, have the plan in place, have a road selected, and to now initiate the subdivision process, and I'm getting further direction on that as time progresses.
Yeah, and then that's, because we're not going to be, all we're doing there basically is just putting these lots up. And then
it would be the actual sole application only.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Okay. Number four is, we're going to go in camera with that. Greater referred to in camera, new business. Update to zoning bylaw. That is for a review and to be tabled.
So if there's any input, feedback at all that council has on any of that, that would be wonderful. If not, no big deal. Just like to make sure you have everything.
Just to have a review of the zoning. And then number two is fire inspector referred to in camera. So can we have a mover to come out of meeting and go into camera?
I'll move.
Seconder?
There.
All in favor?
Right. Aye.
Okay. Be it resolved that the regular order of business of council be temporarily suspended to open a public hearing to consider a conditional use to allow for cannabis retail establishment to be operated in Elma Country Store.
Mover.
Seconder.
Stair.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I'm against.
To go into committee of the whole?
I'm against.
Keep it, that's not now. This is just to go into the.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so what we've done is we've done all the requirements of the Planning Act to circulate accurately. And Ms. Sun Yoon and Young Lee have requested a conditional use to allow for a cannabis retail establishment to be operated at the Elma Country Store, which is zoned general development, so it is a conditional use. All the notices have gone out, circulations have been completed, and we've only received one item back. And it's an email from a ratepayer that is in support of this endeavor. That's all we've received administratively, and we've had nobody come forth or be present at our hearing. So that's all we have for you, Council. We can, unless there's some discussions, you can certainly come out if you'd like.
Do we have a mover for this?
To come out of the public hearing.
Oh, it's Derek.
Seconder?
Good.
All in favor?
Mm-hmm.
Aye.
So now the actual resolution, how council feels, and it is, and whereas no representations were received. Because we never know, we can never fill this part in ahead of time because we don't know. Whereas a request has been received from Sun Yoon and Young Lee of the Elma Country Store, and whereas the conditional use application number is C01/2025, and whereas the property is located in the southeast of 32-10-12 East 5905 40 PTH 11 is the location, and it's identified on assessment roll number 42,000. And whereas no representations were received against this application, now therefore be it resolved that council does hereby approve said conditional use on the condition it is utilized within 12 months.
Now, can we have a move on that? Seconder.
Stair.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Unanimous.
Mr. Our Deputy Reeve had voted
against.
So we have 4, Reeve Amaragon, against, Deputy Reeve Honke, excused, Councillor McDougall, 4, Councillor Sterk, and 4, Councillor Stead. Motion carried. Okay, so now we have finished and concluded that hearing. We do have a 145 delegation, and I'm understanding that they're out there. Is it okay if I go and see if they would like to come down?
Yep.
Or not.
Huh?
All right.
Pissed them off.
I'll move this out of your way, sir. Mm, and I'm no. going to, can I please have the spelling of your name?
Yeah, no problem. I'll wait till you sit.
It's warm, eh?
Beautiful. It's all relative. Bohemier. Bohemier.
First name?
George, with an S at the end. Like he would spell Charles.
Like St. George down the street.
You got it.
Is it named after you?
No.
No?
Nope.
Ready?
You betcha.
Okay, thanks for having us out, folks. This is just a follow-up on the proposed Sturgeon Bay development. I have a friend and colleague, Mr. George Bouimier. He's a broker owner of Century 21, Kerry.com. He's in lieu of our agent, Constantine, who's working with us on this project. He's in Germany right now, measuring up modular homes and figuring out how we're going to ship them back here. So he couldn't be with us, so George has attended just to represent the brokerage. But so we just wanted to...
You know, Mr. Tatchett, before you carry on, I just wanted to mention that Mr. Tynes had left me a message that he wanted you to have him on his your telephone. So
oh, did he? That's what he phoned for.
So I no disrespect, but I wanted to share that was shared.
No, he did phone. I just said, hang up on him. He'll talk too long. So I says,
hang up.
Time
frame doesn't change. Still 10 minutes, sir.
So he did hang up on him.
We hung up on him. There we go.
Hi, Jonathan. Thank you for the call.
Hi, Peter. We're in the meeting now.
Oh, great. And we're going into camera now, then?
Not in camera, sir.
Oh, not yet. Are we going in? Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Should we be in camera?
I think so, yes. Possible.
Did you not get the email that we were expecting the stuff to have to send out in the actual agenda? That was in writing. We did not receive it in writing. This is a public meeting. Council said no to in camera unless they had that information ahead of time. That was in writing.
Oh, so then I misunderstood, and I thought, Jonathan, that you were forwarding whatever we were, doing to the, to to on what it was last Wednesday, I thought, or when was that?
You said you were going to send it on Tuesday. You didn't. We gave you till Thursday at noon when the agenda went out. It still wasn't received.
Well, I'm wondering what happened because Jonathan, I believe you did send it, correct?
I have the email. It was in the afternoon after.
It was from Peter later that day.
Correct. Well, I sent that, but you had other information that you were sending to them, did you not, Jonathan? You were sending a package?
No.
Oh, okay, well, so then...
And he didn't bring a package for us either that I can
see.
We
haven't received any information since.
Okay, so how do we proceed from here?
Well, I think we haven't had much time or anything. I don't know if anyone's looked at it, but I think council's still under the thing that we had to follow the agreement that our lawyer made up. And
okay, so maybe we can we'll just talk openly then, I guess. If that's okay, then, gentlemen, and council,
Peter, listen. The Reed is speaking to you here. Maybe you're not hearing him.
Okay, I'm listening.
I think council's under the impression that we just follow the agreement that our lawyer made up, and then if not, then come back with lots that don't require a conditional use as what our zoning permits at this time. We have nothing else to go on, and we're not in the business of building roads and stuff of that nature. We know that from the outset.
Right. So when we met last time, I Jonathan and I met, as you'll recall, and we showed you how the 360-foot setback that is this artificial line that's been kind of put into the conversation is. We asked one question on that was, would it be possible to set the setback to be the existing homes? So the existing home that's been there for 80 years or whatever on our property and the existing homes on Shondale Drive, because it's an artificial line that, Hydro was asking council to put into the agreement with us that, we think is not appropriate and not acceptable. And so that's one question we've got is it reasonable to council that we say that the setback line be determined by nothing closer to the river than the existing home precedents that are there that have, no issues?
So that's
one question.
That's the first question?
That's the first question.
Okay.
And then one of the things that I would essentially think is that Manitoba Hydro they fluctuate, they control the waterway. Manitoba Hydro took land away from this property many years ago, and that was their buffer zone, their buffer safety zone. So when I met Martin Saxler at a municipal conference, and he basically said, Peter, come look at these properties because there's tremendous opportunity here, and Hydro's already taken land away. The municipalities behind this, they want to do this, they'll, work with you. And, it was on that basis that I got involved. And for Hydro then to come along later and say, we really want more land to be in this control zone, even though we don't own it. And even though we're the ones that have the water line fluctuating, they're the ones that control the water going up and down and should be the ones that actually protect the shoreline, in my opinion, not anybody else, as they've done with the neighbors there. So Hydro has put riprap on the shoreline just to the south of us and the shoreline to the north of us, but they don't seem to want to do that here. And so I would say, okay, we can live with natural slumping then, but we don't want them to artificially say, so I would hope the council would say, this doesn't make sense. We have established home precedents that have been here forever on Shondale Drive, as well as on the 63 acres, that existing home, that's the closest point, to the river, that would be the closest home that we would contemplate being on the property anyway. And so when in, you know, talking with Martin, he said, look, you've got a setback that is there because of the zoning bylaws. Do you adhere to whatever the zoning bylaws are? It's an infill property. It's a no-brainer to develop. You've got a subdivision to the north and one to the south. And so, like, I really appreciate counsel in the past. I really appreciate Colleen. Like, Colleen is awesome. But I'm just wondering, where do we go from here? Because that development agreement, when I had a joint venture partner who was going to get involved with me in this project. When he saw that, he said, oh, what is this? This belongs in Toronto. This is telling, like, are they open for business or not? Do they actually want it? Is it just the lawyer? Because I have no doubt that Orville is a brilliant lawyer, but I think he's taking a development agreement that should be for an urban center like Toronto. Jonathan has been involved with negotiating lots of these things, and George, for example, Centerpoint. Jonathan was intimately familiar with Centerpoint, and you can speak to that, Jonathan. So I would kind of, you know, if the municipality doesn't want to contribute to building roads, and I understand if they don't, but if we don't ask the question is there any way that we can have some kind of working together on this, where maybe gas tax money or whatever can help to contribute, you know, to the project, and then the tax base will contribute to the benefit of the municipality and ratepayers forever. If we don't ask, we don't know. So it's just a question. In this Riverdale municipality, we have.
Is that a second question?
Well, second question then is, is the municipality, yes, thank you very much, Colleen. Is the municipality prepared to consider certain contributions to the roads?
Okay.
And we
got that question, and we got another delegation coming in, so Mr. Tynes, so we're going to have to get you to give us the questions.
Okay, that's great. And then the third question in that, so for example, I gave the three precedents of development agreements that I've signed in the past for a rural municipality that is on a river, the Little Saskatchewan River. George knows that property intimately. He's been out there with me. Very similar considerations in terms of erosion. And I think it was Tramley was the lawyer, and the municipality was very clear with us. He said, well, our philosophy is you put into a development agreement everything that you have to, but nothing you don't have to. You don't go over and above what you really need to. For example, there's no need to have municipal engineers engaged when the engineer of record for the developer has actually got a stamp of the plans, and his liability insurance is behind that. So otherwise, you're inserting this whole other level of expense that then gets passed on to the development and ultimately to the renters or the people who would buy the properties there. So in that development agreement, Colleen, you said, well, you know, if you could comment on it, and it's just, so what I did is I gave an alternate proposed development agreement that's been used elsewhere, that I've signed elsewhere, that I think is really reasonable. We're ready to sign that if you guys are interested in it, in doing that. If you're not interested in having the municipal roads contributed, you know, in whole or in part by the municipality with some kind of an agreement, maybe it's some kind of could be a local improvement plan, but maybe there's some way the taxes can, gas taxes can contribute to it. At least we're just asking, because we're trying to figure out how can we move this thing forward. In the development agreement, he's also asking for 10% land dedication and a letter of credit. Okay, well, maybe the letter of credit can be limited just to the connections to the Brookfield Road there. But bottom line is, you know, we're just, this conversation, I misunderstood. I'm sorry, Jonathan. I thought that you were sending something out, and I'm sorry, I'm on Vancouver Island right now, and I wish I was there. But really, it's just, like we showed you last time, what Hydro is proposing in this could potentially wipe out all of those waterfront lots. And we're really wondering what to do. So if the municipality says, you know what, we'll consider this, we'll look at the form of development agreement, we'll double check with our lawyer, or maybe even a different municipal lawyer, and say, is this reasonable? Because I think what the simplified version that I gave you for a rural municipality is all you need.
If you look at the AMM website, I believe it's just a real good one that will show you that they have a draft development agreement there, and I want to say it's about 18 pages.
Yeah, I think what happens is that and that's all, you know, nice, because they're trying to get something. Incidentally, Riverdale doesn't charge any money for the development agreement, not $1. Sent me a copy within, you know, a week or whatever. And so there's no, because the other thing that I think that the Whitemouth would like, you know, is for me to sign like a blank check for engineering fees and for legal fees. And so you know, I know you guys are just trying to protect the municipality or whatever, and I'm just suggesting that, in my opinion, Orville's development agreement is really overkill. It's, you know, 49 pages is like, it's basically telling, I think it's telling not just me, but any other developer, and maybe you'll have a few that will sign it, but I think it's telling most developers, we're not open for business. We don't want development. Or you're basically pushing people away. And what I found is the big cities, the Torontos, Vancouver's, Calgary, they can be very restrictive because there's huge pressure in those cities. There's, you know, you have a lot of people that want, you know, want homes and apartments and everything. And so they can afford to be restrictive. But the further away you get from big urban center, it's almost like you have to be, I think, as accommodating as possible for people that want to invest. And in some cases, even further out, they even give lots away. They give the land to the developer, you know? And so I'm not asking for anything that isn't reasonable for consideration. And if you guys don't think it is, well, I just don't know how to move forward, is what I'm saying. And I'm hoping that we can find a way with council to figure out, I mean, maybe April comes and goes and we have to rethink the project. And it's, if we do, we do. But we're just wondering if there's any way, because we have conditional approvals that have been put in place that I don't even know if, you know, what latitude you guys have in terms of dealing with those things. And it's been suggested to us that, you know, maybe like even building the roads to municipal standards, if all of the home sites are private home sites and the roads are private, that would be different. So if the roads were private, then, and I know, Colleen, you have said in the past, you know, Peter, just give us your comments and then we'll deal with it. I totally get that. And I appreciate that. But those are the main things. So we're hoping that you would
say. And I appreciate that as well, Mr. Tynes. But I have to say that I'm still waiting to frame the question that you want. I have two questions and I can't frame the third one.
But the third is the development agreement that I proposed acceptable as is, and or if, you know, the municipality is not prepared to commit to building the roads, and, you know, I assume you're probably not, but you know, then with that removed, would it be acceptable? Because we'd be prepared to sign that right away with that removed and just have a conversation.
I think, Peter, so, you know our stand. We're not putting the burden on the ratepayers of this municipality. There will be nothing coming from us for the ratepayers,
okay,
for the ratepayers to pay for. And
right.
I don't know where the rest of council stands on it, but.
And well, we wouldn't expect that, but if
we are
what,
not, that's not our business.
You're contradicting yourself now.
There is actually some math that can be done to show that there's an argument that can likely be made that for the ratepayers that to get taxes forever, there's probably, you know, a good argument that way. But maybe it's a local improvement plan financing, you know, that we would do or something. But I'm just wondering how we can move forward with this project. And I understand and I agree with what you're saying. I'm not suggesting that it would be.
I mean, you got 172 lots there, and you want us to go in there now and start building the roads and all that stuff. We're not a city. We are not a city. I understand when you keep talking about that, you know, you're talking Toronto or you're talking Calgary. But, I mean, the bottom line is going to come. The burden's coming on the ratepayer.
Except the tax base, every time a home gets built, you have taxes forever.
Okay, can you sell 172 lots next week?
Not next week, but George and Jonathan. Jonathan has some tremendous interest, and Jonathan could speak to that perhaps. And I'm not necessarily asking for it. I'm only asking the question: is that something the municipality were prepared to do to work with us? So rather than have this private-public partnerships are done all over the place, right? Riverdale built the roads for us. They built the roads. It's in the development agreement. You've got a copy of the development agreement. And and if we don't ask, we don't know. If we don't ask and say, is it something you guys would be prepared to consider, then we don't know.
I appreciate
right?
the fact that you're asking. I mean, we've done a few lots and stuff here that was on municipal property, and all we did was sell the lot and then build the road. Nothing's come out of ratepayers' money, and that's going to be our trend going forward.
Okay. Well, that's one question. And then the other question is, that would it be possible to sign a simplified development agreement, you know, a streamlined development agreement like the one that we're proposing here?
Yeah, see, we had one that you got 2 years ago from us, and we had a hearing in here, and we had lots of people here in this particular building that were very opposed to it. You were here that day, Peter, and we thought, okay, that's fine, you know, we want to get something going, and we had 16 or 13 concerns or things that needed to be done. I don't recall. And we went a whole year and nothing. We never heard from you. It was just nothing.
That's because my investor looked at the development agreement and said, "Oh, you know, Peter, you've got to be kidding. Like, what is this?"
And then you came back to us a year later and asked if we could extend it for a year. So we did. We extended it for a year. And now we're here again, and now you're asking us to build roads and do this and do that.
No.
We're going to have to change something here. The best, we're not going to solve this, and I might be speaking out of turn, okay? I'm just speaking on behalf of the ratepayers. It might not be. But Colleen's got the questions, and we'll look at them, and we'll get back to you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And I'm only saying that with COVID, when COVID happened, everything was put on pause. When I received that development agreement, and Colleen did say, "Well, you can respond to it, but the terms are so onerous that it, for a rural municipality that's trying to attract business, that my principal joint venture partner just said, don't even bother. It's just so off the chart. This is like for Toronto, quote unquote." And so. So, like I said, I kind of lost heart. I put it in neutral, thinking I got to get to it. Well, in the last 6 months or so, we put a team together. We've got a whole bunch of fantastic concepts for some log homes from Europe that are, finished inside and outside. Very, really cute log homes we think could be part of the package. We've got a great idea to move things forward, but that 360-foot line's a big problem. The development agreement itself is like a non-starter. It's like a non-starter, without tremendous revision.
Even with that, what you're doing there is you're putting us against hydro. I mean, we're not big.
I don't think so.
I do.
I think it's you guys are the approving authority, so you guys can say, look, if that dam creates something like $70 million a year for the province. What does hydro do for the arm of Whitemouth? Like, they're not. I don't think they're your friends or allies. They don't seem to be, in my opinion, right? I think that, and you guys are the approving authority, so I would say, well, really just what's smart and reasonable. We will put, like in that Riverdale agreement where it says the developer has to hire an engineer with experience in geotechnical engineering to stamp whatever the drawings are, and just leave it at that, and not have the developer have the burden of municipal engineers, second engineers, with a blank check for legal fees. So rather than Riverdale's development, there's zero legal fees. Orville's, I don't know what his hourly rate is, probably $500 an hour or more. Before you know it, you're into $15,000 in negotiating a development agreement or more. It's like a blank check. So it's kind of telling not just me, but anybody that's looking at developing in Whitemouth, Riverdale, hey guys, it's telling the developer, we're not open for business. And I know that's not the intent of council. I know you guys are a great council. You guys are a pro-business council. And I think you guys are an awesome group of people in council and everything. Colleen really was awesome. So I'm just wondering about when COVID happened, when this development agreement came down, is there any way we can just simplify it and have a straightforward development agreement for this community? And if we can't get this resolved by April, then we have to rethink. I mean, is this, does this make sense for us to move forward with? Because it's a huge expense. And even though we've got interest, it's, there's a lot of risk associated with it. But there's a huge tax base to be, for the municipalities, the beneficiary of the tax base and the ratepayers. So, kind of the conversation that I was hoping that we could have today is there any way we can work together? Is there any gas tax money? Is there anything that we can do to contribute to this? Also, if we have to take away 10% of the property and give it to the as a local improvement, that's the sort of thing that you'd expect in Winnipeg or Toronto or Calgary or whatever. But for a rural area like this, is 10% land dedication, does that make sense? I don't know. Maybe it does, but I...
Yeah. Okay, Peter, we've got your questions here. We have another delegation, okay, that he's been scheduled and he's here. So we thank you for coming out and calling in.
Well, thank you.
Colleen,
thank you. Thank you so much, and I only wish that I was there.
Thank you very much for being on time, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Bye.
That's my 12.
Okay, maybe next time I'll get to talk. So.
You said.
You phoned him.
You told me to.
I didn't want to be in trouble later and him say, why didn't you tell him? I gotta be truthful.
I'll see you guys in a few weeks.
Okay.
I have other plans. I want my cottage lot. I want to live out here, so whatever it takes.
Thank you.
Thanks. Put my name in red.
Only because it was added after the agenda went out, sir. That's the only reason why it would have been on a different color. So we have Art Amarogan, and he's here to discuss sewer upgrade in Whitemouth RM.
And you know a bit about this sewer stuff, because we sat in council with it, and had trouble with it then already, and now. There is one thing, though, that came up today. I looked at the thing. You have on there that it's 5.2% interest, 1.77 roll, or mill rate, at $7,209 per $100,000, right, of your assessment? So my assessment is $250,000. I'm $200 a year I pay.
I don't have that in front of me. I'm here to take any questions and get back to the delegation.
It was on the wall on the plaque. That's $200 a year.
What was on the wall on the plaque was just an example.
I know, but that is still the template of what it's going to be.
That is, yes, what they're looking at.
That's right, okay? That's a low one. The other one is $92. Okay? That's $250 a year. Okay? But that's not crap, okay? Show me. Okay? I'm going to be good here.
Just
okay?
Last point of contact yesterday meeting.
You're
can't
getting
deal
information
with that.
Now.
Okay?
I
no more.
That,
so.
Okay. That was the biggest one. I asked for the plans, and Faye gave them to me. That's irrelevant, I guess, that is. But it wasn't really, because paying for it is one thing, but with Tammy lives at the end of the line, there's people down there going to be charged for it. And you can't get onto the line. And we were sitting in council that time to get a lift station there. Had to come a long way back, all the way to Conroy's pretty much, because you couldn't force Maine that where you are. There was drawings or some drafts about that. It had to go a long ways. So these people are going to pay for that. And that's I'm going to get the petition going, whatever, get some people in here to, and we'll tell them something that aren't written on that paper. That's what I'm getting at with this. Now, their sewers are going to fail, and you're going to have to put a lift station. That's going to be a big $300 a year they're going to pay already, and they're going to have to pay again for a local improvement. That's a lot. When you add all between what's missing on that paper, there's a lot. And then at the other end of town, you're still going to have that trouble with having that. When I was a council, they wanted to put the same thing. I know that generator is sitting there in case the power goes out, right? That's what it was put there for, by the thing there. Move the water, right? There's a generator sitting on over there on the lift station. Same thing down also at the trailer court, eh? When the power goes out, so the water doesn't flow over and run away. That one there, maybe not. But this one we didn't want to put that.
We can get back anything that we're not
anything
sure. We'll get
yes.
back to.
Didn't want to get this one anyway. This one here we didn't put in because didn't know was going to happen with the buildings. You force main that water. I think that we had. When I looked in that one night, the water was coming in around that pipe that's there, unbelievable. So the water came up in the street. So they're supposed to, I know that I left council, maybe there's something done in there. They're supposed to dig that out, pea gravel that, seal it, and take elevation shots that went north. The water in town would not get to the lagoon. So I seen on the chart there, they have to haul water, have to do this, have to do that. When you put generators and pumps in place, well, you're going to create the problem at the lagoon. Automatically, you're forcing that water down there. That's still going to be there today happening. When you redo all this, it's still going to be there. Now, at the other end, it's going to be there. They're going to move it. But this one over here, it's supposed to be an easement underneath, I think, across the road for that water to go natural drain. Anyway, so the thing is still the amount of money. That is incredible. And I want to make sure back to me what that was. And the other thing was, I took some notes. I got one resident on my property, okay? I'll pay mine. I got more than one piece of property. Am I going to pay for every piece of property, every roll? every tax roll?
We don't know.
You got more than one house on many properties. Are they going to pay for that? On a farmyard, the parents still were, another house there? Hutterite Colony got 50 residences or 100 residences. Are they going to pay one? Are they going to pay 50? This is no different than the waterline hookup. The fight they had with that. About it.
Okay, so to get an actual question out of that, or for me to look back for something for you?
Well, with the way it's worded today on the how you're going to pay for this system, okay, is it going to be by tax roll number? If I have three tax roll numbers, am I getting charged three times?
Okay, so what it is just the end of the day, exactly once the research has been completed and reviewed, you want to know what the end payment will be and how it will be dispersed.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Now, if there's two residences and one tax roll, is each residence getting charged?
Okay, thank you very much. I get it.
Because you're charging the whole municipality.
Okay.
And the colonies at how many on there? Okay. And the school's only going to pay one hookup, the hospitals pay one hookup, the old folks home going to pay one hookup, or everybody in there going to be charged per room?
Good thoughts. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
I have. Is there anything more that council has that they would like? I believe that we've concluded the agenda at this point.
We have a mover to adjourn.
Good.
205.
Step.
Seconder.
Stare.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much, Councilor.